another edition of Ag Matters, and Amy Pettis is about to take over. Two Amys.
This is going to get very confusing.
Go for it.
Hopefully our voices sound a little bit different to the listeners.
Not just tired and early morning.
Right. Thanks so much for joining us this morning on the show, Amy. I asked Amy to join us for a couple of reasons, because as many of us in agriculture do, Amy wears a number of hats, and I'm going to talk to her about a couple of those different hats this morning. First and foremost, Amy is a farmer herself, and then she is also the executive director of the statewide organization, the Alaska Farm Bureau. So I'm going to jump into some of those details and start asking Amy questions about all of that in just a second. But first, I have to give a real quick shout out and mention that next Saturday, April 15th, is the Alaska Farmland Trust's first fundraiser of the season. It is our event called Happy Hour in the Greenhouse, and it is actually just that. From 3 to 6 p.m. on Saturday the 15th, we will be gathering in Ben Vanderweel's greenhouse with a live band, the Carhart Brothers, and delicious Alaska-grown food prepared by Chef Megan Galbraith, and wine from Alaska Berries, and beer from Arco's Brewery and Odd Man Rush Brewery, and cider from Double Shovel Cider. So it's kind of an all Alaska-grown, I don't want to say feast, because it is kind of designed as happy hour, though you will have plenty to eat. It is not really designed to be a full meal. I just throw that out there. We'll also have a live auction and a silent auction of some incredible gift baskets. And so last night I got back from a couple of days in Anchorage, and we had sold about half the tickets are gone. So I just want to let people know that if you're interested, you need to give me a call sometime in the next couple of days to get one of those tickets. Entrance is $50, and your $50 ticket gets you your first drink ticket, all the food, the entertainment, a door prize ticket, etc. The final mention is, yes, door prizes. Anchorage Distillery is giving us some specialty bottles of what they are calling, for this event only, Vander Wheat Vodka. And it's vodka made from Vanderweel Farms wheat. So very clever, and we're excited to see that. And again, half the tickets are gone. So if you're interested in Happy Hour in the Greenhouse, check out the Facebook event. More details on our website, akfarmland.com, and you can give me, Amy Pettit, a call to get tickets. So now that we're done with that, Amy Sykes.
I think last year's event was really fun, wasn't it?
Oh man, it was. It's just a really nice, it's April, it's kind of crunchy and cold and dirty outside, but inside the greenhouse it's a warm 80 degrees. The baby plants are coming up, so it's kind of bright and vibrant, and with the music and the great food, it's just a really nice couple of hours hanging out with a good group of people. You'll hear a little bit more about who Farmland Trust is and why we do the work that we do. And yeah, it's just a really nice little event. It's a very successful fundraiser for us as well, so we appreciate everyone's support.
And in middle of April, it's nice to see some plants coming up.
That's right.
Especially this year when the snow is still melting.
Yeah, I had a gal call me yesterday for tickets, and I said, do you have any questions? And she said, well, I've never been to the event. I've really never heard anything about who you are or what you do. And I thought, oh, perfect. You're like the perfect person. And I said, well, have you heard of Vanderweel Farms? And she said, I think I see their potatoes in the grocery store, don't I? And I said, you do. And I went on to tell her, as I'll tell everyone, that, you know, Vanderweel Farms is the largest vegetable producer in the state. And we're lucky enough that they're right here in Palmer. And people don't realize all the work and effort that goes into that vegetable production. You know, those baby plants are started now. There's already a planting. Actually, the second planting is in the trays too. And so, you know, the food won't be available until May and June, really full production in July, but it starts now. And it's just a really interesting kind of behind the scenes look at all of that. Yeah, so happy hour in the greenhouse. Get your tickets before they're gone. All right, Amy, let's jump into you. And I want to start with Lancashire Farms. And, you know, you're a farmer. Tell us about that.
I am. I'm actually a third-generation farmer here on the peninsula, born in Fairbanks and raised here on my grandparents' homestead. They moved up here in 48.
Oh, wow.
My grandpa just did to drop everything and drive up the Alcan. And we've been here ever since.
Very good.
And there's always been some sort of agriculture happening here, but I've been trying to get it more commercial again. For a while, it was just down at the hobby level. My mom spins and knits, so we had a handful of fiber sheep. But now we're trying to get things growing. We have both meat and fiber sheep, and then we do some layers and getting our garden production expanded.
Yeah. Let's talk about the sheep because it's springtime, which means babies, right? So how many babies do you have?
Right now I have 18, which almost doubles our flock size. And then we'll have another batch. I just had the last ewe give birth a couple days ago.
Okay.
So now we'll have another batch of lambs born in May. We're kind of on a... We don't do them all at the same time.
Sure, because you might go crazy.
I would like to get some sleep on occasion.
That's right.
It's always a fun time to have the little lambs running around, but it is, you know, this year when it dropped down to 20 below, it was not as pleasant out there.
Right. So 18 babies right now. Now, are they all destined to become fiber producers on the farm, or do you sell the young lambs, or are some of those for meat? What are they?
The majority of these ones will end up in someone's freezer.
Okay.
They'll be raised through the summer on our pasture and then butchered this fall.
Okay.
And then the next batch will be primarily the fiber sheep. There will be a handful of meat ones that will go partially through the winter. And then we're having to, our herd has gotten kind of old, so we're replacing the old ewes with some of these younger, we got some nice ewe lambs.
Okay.
So some of them will actually get to stay on the farm.
Very good. I was curious, I was thinking, Amy, as I was coming in this morning about the name of your farm, and it's an interesting name, Lancashire Farms. Am I even saying it right?
Yep, Lancashire Farm.
Yeah, so where did that name come from?
That is my grandparents' name.
Oh, okay. Very
Rusty
good.
And Larry Lancashire. We live on Lancashire Lane.
Oh, very good.
On Lancashire Homestead.
I love that. I grew up on Knapp Road on the Knapp Ranch, so I totally understand that. Knapp is my maiden name. And, you know, I lived in Australia for a while during college. And in Australia, particularly, I was on the island of Tasmania. And all of the farms there have a farm name. And very rarely is it the family's name. It's just... It's a place name, like the farm that I lived and worked on was called Vron, V-R-O-N. And people didn't say, oh, I'm going to visit the Goss family. That was the family I worked for. They would say, oh, I'm going to Vron. And as though it were the destination. It was just an interesting thing that I experienced there. But I always like to hear about the names of places. So I didn't realize it was just a family name. But
yep, it's a family name. It actually took lots of discussion to decide that that's what we were going to do.
Okay.
But my grandpa had, I don't think it was Lancashire Farms, but it was Lancashire something when he was in business as a farmer.
Okay.
And we had actually found an old sign of his. So we kind of decided to bring that back.
Very good. Well, I love it. It's unique, and that's a great story. So if people want to learn more or are interested in getting a hold of some of that meat or fiber, et cetera, how do they find more out about you guys?
Well, right now, mostly calling or emailing.
Okay. And is your farm...
And then also in the summers, once the farmer's market, the Soldotna Farmer's Market gets going, my mom and Jane, they're involved in the fiber side of things and the garden, they are down at the Soldotna Farmer's Market every Saturday spinning and doing other wool projects.
Right, value-added products. I've seen Jane's felted wool over bars of soap, right?
Yes.
Those are beautiful and smell so good.
Yep, and also some of the wool products and honey and a few other things are down. We're now in a store in Soldotna called Artful Souls.
Artful Souls. Oh, I've seen that, right? It's a shoe store, right? Very creative name.
No, it's not a shoe store.
What? It sounds like a shoe store.
It does kind of sound like a shoe store.
Okay.
No, it has fun. It has different, a lot of artsy products. It's in an area that has a few different shops that are focused on artsy clothing or
value-added handmade stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, good. Very good. Are you guys listed in the Alaska Grown Sourcebook, or do you have a Facebook page?
I believe we are.
Okay. I was just curious about how people can find you.
Yeah, we're in the Alaska Grown Sourcebook. We're in the Kenai Local Foods Directory.
Perfect. Are you on the Facebook?
I have a Facebook page. Jane has it. We haven't gotten a website yet.
Well, let me
that's in the works.
Let me say it publicly, Amy, that people would love to see pictures of those baby lambs. So you should put them out there.
I know. I sent them to Jane and hope she puts them out there.
Okay.
I'm bad on Facebook, and I know that I need to get better before having a business Facebook.
Okay, very good. All right, so I just want to remind folks that this morning on Ag Matters, we are talking to Amy Seitz, who is the executive director of the Alaska Farm Bureau, as well as the owner of Lancashire Farms down in Soldotna. So before we jump over to the Farm Bureau topic, let's one more question about your farm. So obviously you have fiber sheep, and so who does the shearing?
We have a guy down in Homer who we've been going to as long as I can remember.
Okay. You go to him or he comes to you?
Well, he used to shear at someone else's place when they had sheep, and now that they no longer have sheep, he comes to our place.
Okay.
And then we notify you if I hear of other people who have sheep that want to shear them. I tell them when he's going to be here, and it's a big party here where we have the shearer all set up, and there's me and a handful of others moving the sheep around.
Okay.
And then Jane and my mom are in another area picking through the wool.
Right.
And then bagging it up. And so yeah, we're lucky.
Because that's a delicate process. When you're actually using that wool or fiber to create, to create yarn or spin or knit with it, you have to be pretty, you don't want just anybody with a set of shears handling your animal, right?
Right. And I try to shear a few, but I don't do the nice fiber.
Okay.
I get in trouble if I shear them because I get too many second cuts.
Yeah.
But yes, you want to have a really good shearer.
Absolutely. What time of year do you shear, Amy? Is it coming up?
It is. The guy we use also works on the slope. So
oh, okay.
Sometimes it's not right when we would like it to. We have to work with his schedule.
So. Sure.
But yeah, I know some people have already sheared, and we're hoping to get sheared by the end of the month.
Okay. In the lower 48, a fascinating thing to see, if anybody ever gets the opportunity, I'm sure you've seen this, is going to a sheep shearing contest where the shearers, shear as many sheep as possible, as quickly as possible, with as few nicks and cuts as possible. I'm sure you've been to one of those, right?
It wasn't a competition, but I traveled around in New Zealand for a while.
Oh, right.
And, yeah, there's a few sheep down there.
So. A few, yeah.
So I got to watch some shearing at one of the sheep ranches.
Well, growing up on a mixed production livestock farm, we also had sheep on one of our places. And then when I lived in Australia, there were plenty of sheep there, too. And shearing day or days were my least favorite.
Oh, yeah.
It's just hot and sweaty and all the lanolin and I don't know. Yeah, anyway.
Oh, that's we have people asking when the shearing is so they can come over and run their hands through the lanolin and get all lotioned up.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. All right. Well, anything else you want to throw out there about Lancashire Farms and the...
Well, I could talk about the farm for a long time, but I know we're on a time limit.
We are on a time limit. We're about halfway through our time already. It goes so fast. So let's jump into the Alaska Farm Bureau. And I kind of want to do just a who, what, why, et cetera, about the Farm Bureau. And since you're the executive director, I'm sure you can answer all those questions. So start telling us about the Farm Bureau and why Alaskans should consider joining.
Well, the Farm Bureau is it's a independent non-government organization. A lot of people think we're part of the state or federal government, but we're independent. We're a nonprofit, but we're the largest agriculture advocacy organization in the state and the nation.
Right.
So we do a lot of paying attention to policy.
Yep.
Making sure we have good agriculture policy out there, and try not to get bad agriculture policy.
Right. So to be clear, there's the American Farm Bureau, and then each state is kind of a sublet of that. And then within Alaska, we have chapters as well, right?
Yeah. So we have 6 chapters in the state that represent most of the state. We have Fairbanks, Delta, Copper River Valley, Mat-Su Valley, Kenai Peninsula, and Kodiak.
Okay.
So pretty much we're trying to get Southeast in there.
Oh, yeah. There's a lot of, there's growth in the agriculture sector down there. So why not get a chapter to help advocate and inform, et cetera?
Yeah. And that's just going to take a little more time. We tried several years ago and there just wasn't enough push behind it down there. So hopefully now we'll get that going again.
So what does being a Farm Bureau member get me if I'm a farmer and considering, it's just another annual membership fee, but there's lots and lots of benefits to Farm Bureau membership. Can you tell us about some of them?
There are, along with helping set our policy and at our annual meeting, deciding what our legislative priorities are and, kind of driving the organization. Members will get discounts. There is a financial incentive to being a member. NAPA gives a 10% discount to all members, which I know farmers probably go there quite a bit.
Yeah.
But then we also have Caterpillar is another benefit partner with us, and I've actually had a few people, I think it's $2,000 or $2,500 off of, a whole list of Caterpillar equipment.
Oh, yeah. That can make a nice dent in your bill.
Yeah. And then GM, and then also some office supplies, Office Max. We give discounts there. And then I send out newsletter to try and keep people up to speed on things that are happening around.
Yeah.
And then also the American Farm Bureau, I think they're in their third year. Any member of the Farm Bureau is able to apply to the competition they're doing. It's called the Rural Entrepreneurship Challenge.
Right.
And this is if you're familiar with the Shark Tank
show on TV.
So yeah, I'm not as familiar with it, but yeah, it's for-profit ag or food-related businesses. They send in their application and go through the process of being judged and trying to win money, startup funding. And it's either new businesses or current businesses with new ideas that are in any way related to agriculture. This year, there's $145,000
in prize money
available.
Wow.
Yeah. And so the big prize, the Entrepreneur of the Year, they win $30,000. And last year, it was actually in Alaska, one of the Alaska applicants that won.
Yeah, that was so exciting.
That was. And this year, they normally do the Entrepreneur of the Year. People's Choice gets $25,000. The 2 runner-up get $15,000. And then the 6 semifinalists get $10,000.
Okay.
So there's several chances to win.
Several opportunities,
money.
Yeah.
But this year, they're going to do things a little different. Instead of having the 6 semifinalists, they're going to have 6 best in shows.
Okay.
And so there's going to be best farm startup, best agritourism startup, best farm-to-table startup, ag tech craft beverage.
Oh.
And I know with our breweries and distilleries, hopefully we see some of those.
I'll have to tell Brian at Alaska Berries about that too, right? His wine would qualify as a craft beverage.
Yep. And Anchorage Distillery. And
Yeah,
so hopefully we'll have, the last 2 years, Alaska's had 2 applicants each year.
Okay.
So hopefully this year we'll have even more.
Yeah. Very good. So you mentioned they have to be a Farm Bureau member. So where can, if I am intrigued by this award or some of the incentives that you mentioned, et cetera, where do I go to find out more information about the Alaska Farm Bureau?
Well, you can go to alaskafb.org.
Okay.
And I think my phone number is right on that first page, if someone wanted to call me.
And is the information about the award up on the website now?
Are you working on that? This information just came out yesterday.
Okay.
So I will be getting this out in our newsletters, and we try to do a press release out to papers and try to get it out to chambers. So,
how far out is the deadline for applications for that innovation award?
It starts May 1st. The application process opens and then it ends June 30th.
June 30th. Okay, so you've got a little bit of time to think about it.
Yep. And but it is good to have, obviously your business plan, and they do require a video. People can, if they want to start thinking about it, they can go to strongruralamerica.com.
Strongruralamerica.com. Okay. And last year's winner from Alaska was Vertical Harvest Hydroponics. Is that right?
Yes.
Yeah. They spoke at our Mat-Su chapter Farm Bureau meeting a couple of weeks ago about a little bit about their business model and what they're doing. And their time was cut a little bit short, so they didn't get to get into the award very much. But that was really exciting to have a local South Central company that had won that award and a little bit of injection in the cash flow to help them take their business to the next level.
Yeah, and along with the cash money, they also have the opportunity to meet with several different investors.
So the
American Farm Bureau doesn't just give them their check and leave them.
Yeah.
They want to make these businesses succeed, and so they set up meetings with investors, and they try to give them a little bit of education also on the business side of things. So, I know when it was announced, they had an all-day meeting with a marketing person, and so they try to give as much assistance to businesses as possible.
Very good. What an incredible opportunity. I think even if a business is, just thinking about it, just going through that application process sometimes can really help you align yourself and just get your thought process more spelled out for better success. So I would encourage anyone that's, even thinking about it to take a look at the information and call Amy with questions, right?
Yes.
Very good. All right. So what else is going on with the Farm Bureau? Obviously it's session right now. What day of the Alaska legislative session is it?
We're getting down there. I think the 17th was the last day of 90 days.
Yeah.
So it's getting down there. I know they're busy with budget and.
Right. We've been tracking a number of the agriculture related bills, and we've talked about it a little bit here before on Ag Matters, and we don't have a ton of time left, so we probably can't get into a lot of details, but are there any high points with any of the ag related legislation that you can give us? Is the hemp bill still moving forward or
It is, and actually yesterday it had a hearing in Senate Finance.
Okay.
Senate Bill 6 it was actually heard twice in Senate Finance yesterday.
Okay.
So there is still movement on that. Hopefully it'll get through Senate Finance and through the Senate this year, and then it'll meet up with the House bill.
Okay.
So there is still a chance that one will get through this session.
Okay.
Have to wait and see. But it does seem to have a lot of interest.
Good.
From legislators. Just this year in general, legislators seem to be much more interested in agriculture than most other years.
Yeah, we've talked about that when we've had the director Keyes on before about just there's a lot of positive momentum and positive, discussion and with Representative Garantar's leadership for ag awareness and ag and food awareness security week or whatever she had. Just a lot of people are talking about it, which is a good thing.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
What other ag bills have seen movement recently?
There's the procurement bill, which
right.
would increase the product preference to 15% from 7%.
Okay.
That's gotten some movement. It's in House Finance, so we're trying to get that. It has zero fiscal notes
a good thing.
For most of them. Yeah, most of them it has zero fiscal notes, but when it added in the receipt authority for the Division of Ag, it did add some, you know, because there will be money exchanging hands. It actually shows the Division of Ag will be bringing in $5,000, so that's better to be bringing in money than have money going out.
Right,
so
asking the
hopefully
legislature.
Hopefully that won't hold things up too much going through finance.
Good.
And that one, there's actually a big change to that bill. It used to have the raw milk labeling section in it, and Representative Tarr decided to take that out and make the raw milk labeling its own bill.
Okay.
So her plan, last I talked to her, was to take that issue and talk to farmers throughout the summer and, you know, farmers and consumers throughout the summer and have it ready to go for next session.
Oh, good. Good. I think that is a hot topic that probably does need more discussions and more consensus building, because I think right now, if you got a room full of farmers, they, you know, half of them would be, you know, for the proposed changes to raw milk, and I think the other half would be against it. So I think we need to, you know, we need to talk about it more. I think it's good to have open discussion about it. I know there was a lot of concerns about, you know, if you start changing things, then it will reduce access for some people. So I'm glad to hear that there's going to be continued discussion about raw milk.
Yeah, and I would imagine once they get done with sessions, they'll start looking at scheduling meetings.
Okay, very good. Well, Amy, we are almost out of time already. This half an hour goes by so fast. It does, right? I promised you it wouldn't be too painful, and then it's already almost over. So I want to remind folks that if they're, you know, if they were listening in the beginning about Lancashire Farms, they can find more information about Amy and her farm in the source book, the Alaska Grown Source Book. Just search for Lancashire Farms down in Soldotna. And then the Farm Bureau, alaskafb.org. And if a person, I think, Amy, perhaps this is unfair for me to say, but if a person had really specific questions about ag legislation or how they could get involved, could they just call you?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'd be happy to talk with anyone.
Okay, very good. Any closing thoughts about Farm Bureau or the year to come?
Well, I'm really excited. There's a 32% growth in agriculture sales this year, so I think I'm excited.
Yeah.
To be in the Farm Bureau. I'm excited to be a farmer.
It's a good time for agriculture in Alaska. I agree. Thank you so much for joining us on the call this morning, Amy, and I hope you have a great day and get some pictures of those babies out so people can see all those baby lambs running around.
Yeah, I will try.
Okay. Thanks, Amy.
All right. Have a good day.
You too.
Well, thank you, Amy Pettit, for another edition of Ag Matters.